today, when I go out to the university, I get a lot more questions about whether Christianity is good. Has Christianity been good for women? Has Christianity been good for minorities? What about Inquisition, the Salem witch trials? Has it been a good force in the world?
The official name of our program is Truth in the Test Tube. We sometimes call it by the shorthand version T-Cubed. But by either name, we hope you'll find these next few minutes interesting and informative. Now here's program editor David Fisher to introduce today's guest.
We're speaking today with Kenneth Samples in the Reasons to Believe office in Covina, California. Ken, give us a little bit of your background.
Yes, David, I've been with Reasons to Believe for next year will be 20 years. I'm a senior research scholar. I'm the non-scientist on the scholar team, so I'm kind of the oddball. I'm a theologian and philosopher. Before coming to Reasons to Believe, I was a college professor, taught philosophy and religion at a couple community colleges. And then prior to that, I worked at the Christian Research Institute with Walter Martin. Walter was the original Bible Answer Man.
Right.
We kind of studied different religious movements. So I've been doing apologetics professionally, I guess, for about 30 years.
You made an interesting statement in the most recent Reasons to Believe newsletter. You said traditional apologetics had become less effective. To quote you, while people still inquire about the faith's truthfulness, the question more often asked today is Christianity good? So how did you come to that conclusion?
You know, when I was first doing apologetics about 30 years ago, it seemed to me on the college campus, when I would go out and speak, inevitably the question would be questions of truth. Does God exist? Is Christianity true? And if it is, how do I know it? And so there was a lot of focus on the person of Christ, particularly his resurrection. Today, when I go out to the university or we have an event, I get a lot more questions about whether Christianity is good. That doesn't mean people don't inquire about the resurrection or the truthfulness of Christianity, but it seems maybe with the emergence of what I would call the new atheism, there are questions like, has Christianity been good for women? Has Christianity been good for minorities? What about Inquisition, the Salem witch trials? That is, it seems to me that now people are inquiring, well, I'm going to judge Christianity not just on some of the truth claims, but has it been a good force in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I suspect that that's a little bit because we live in a bit more of a postmodern culture, and there are a lot of questions about whether traditional religion has really been good for people. So I guess I picked that up about the last 5 years, that there's a kind of a switch in the kind of questions that I get.
Now, you use the term postmodernism. How would you define that briefly?
I would say that the secular postmodernism, because you could embrace postmodernism as a Christian. In fact, some do. I would say that Christianity was pre-modern. Modernity, the modern period, would be kind of the Renaissance forward to about World War II. And then after World War II, there's what we call postmodernism. And I would say some of the characteristics of postmodernism, a suspicion of language and truth claims. There's a lot more skepticism about the way things were done in the past.
Everything is your opinion versus my opinion.
A lot of relativism. Yeah, you don't have truth. You have an opinion, and we all have an opinion. And sometimes they would say all opinions are equal. So I think that postmodern element contributes to the kind of questions. The traditional categories of Christianity are truth, goodness, and beauty. That's the way Christians looked at the world, through the prism of truth, goodness, and beauty. I'm aware today that a lot more people are interested in race, gender, and class. And so I think we're getting different questions because we're seeing the culture change and people have different kinds of questions. But I still want to assert and I want to underscore that I still get the truth questions, but usually it takes a little longer to get to it.
And do you point out the fact that Christianity has helped to improve relationships related to slavery and various things?
In fact, I think it's really a great opportunity. I think we can begin to unpackage that Christianity has been an incredibly good force in the world. I mean, I grew up during the civil rights movement, and so many of the leaders in the movement were Christian. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King was a Baptist minister. Many religious people were very positive about treating people who are made in the image of God with dignity and respect. And you could even go further back and argue that Christianity shaped our Western judicial system, our concept of justice, our ideas of hospitals and hospice and education. It does require us, I think, to know a little bit more about how Christianity has shaped the world, but I'm happy to do that because I think that we have a pretty good record. There are times where I have to point out where I think maybe there were times in modern Europe. These were so-called Christian nations, but anti-Semitism seems to have been a significant problem at times. But I think we've got good reason to argue that not only is Christianity true, but that it's been very good for the world.
You mentioned hospitals. As you drive down the street, most of them have religious names. St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, Baptist, Methodist.
My wife has worked in hospitals for 25 years. She worked at St. Jude, a Catholic hospital, and you walk into the lobby and there is a scripture passage on the wall. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think, wow, there's Jesus who offers real care and comfort. And so, hospitals are often named because of the religious mission that they have.
And literacy has often been advanced by Christians, missionaries, and various others.
Absolutely. With regard to literacy, the church in the Middle Ages was the one that continued to strive forward in terms of learning. Christianity is a bookish religion. We have a book, and we read from that book. And then the Protestant Reformation was a great boon to education and learning. And in fact, we could take one more step in science. The medieval universities, Oxford, Cambridge, other universities, played a great role in the emergence of the scientific revolution in the 17th century. So I think this different kind of question requires a little bit of a different kind of apologetic. That is, I think we have to know our roots. We have to know our history. Okay. I'm glad to do that because I really love our history.
Some have said that the Christian worldview paved the way for science to develop. What examples do you have of that?
I think that that is, in fact, true. Now, I think it is important to realize that various civilizations made contributions to medicine and technology. Certainly, the classical Greeks had a mathematical prism of looking at the world. China, even Baghdad, I mean, algebra is an Arabic word, after all. They made contributions. But nobody could sustain a experimental science until the 17th century. And what comes out of that is, again, these medieval universities, also Christian theologians arguing that the world was made by God. We were made in God's image. We can track the intelligibility that God has put into the world. Moreover, the idea that you can trust math, you can trust logic, lots of worldviews, you can't trust your senses. So I think it is very fair to say that the Christian worldview birthed science. And that doesn't mean that other cultures didn't make contributions, but sometimes religious philosophies can inhibit science. You know, the circularity of ideas in the East, whereas the Judeo-Christian has kind of a linear view that things begin and move toward a straight path. So I think there's good evidence to support. And unfortunately, I often get the objection that religion has always been at war with science. That's almost completely false. I mean, there have been times where there were tensions with Galileo and various things. But for the most part, Christianity has been a strong force in valuing science and technology.
Polytheism has chaotic collisions between the various gods. Atheism has randomness that is not proceeding toward a purpose of creating something that's going to be logic.
Yeah.
So the monotheism is much more fertile ground.
I think that that's such an important point. David, I think we live at a time where a lot of secular people are unaware of how much the religious worldview of the West shapes science. They just see science, it works. It's kind of like a train that's moving down the track. But they don't realize that, hey, you've got to have a philosophical framework to trust math, to trust logic, and to have all of these kinds of things. And so in that context, I would say Judaism also plays a very important role in this Western way of looking at the world and valuing science.
The number of Nobel Prizes won by Jewish people is really out of proportion.
Yeah, amazing. That's right.
So should Reasons to Believe add a division called Results to Believe?
Well, I think that we do need to scratch where people itch. We can make the case very well that, you know, we think science is a very important enterprise. We think it does many good things in the world, but that it needs some kind of worldview context to make it work. I think it is kind of important to ask yourself, what kinds of questions are particularly young people asking today? They have been influenced by the new atheism, which is, again, kind of an in-your-face type of atheism. I think the old atheists were more formidable because they were much more careful. They didn't overstate their case as much. But, you know, Christopher Hitchens was very strong that not only is Christianity false, it's just been a bad thing for the world.
So what resources do you recommend for someone who wants to pursue this in more depth than we're covering today?
Well, I have tried to write some of my own books in light of that. So I have a book called Without a Doubt. And what I try to do in that book is I try to answer the truth questions, but I also try to ask the question of whether Christianity is a good thing. So I have a chapter on tolerance. I have a chapter that deals with what about science? I've tried to write an apologetic text that I think takes you in different places where people are at. And of course, my colleagues, Hugh Ross and Fuzz and Jeff and Dave and AJ, they have lots of materials that address kind of the nuts and bolts of the science.
Okay, good. So in closing, what challenge would you give to someone who thinks religions have done more harm than good? A summary.
I guess I would go back and say, think about some of the really important things in life. Caring for the poor, caring for the sick. Where did our educational system come from? What was the motivation to start those medieval universities? Why did science emerge? Our judicial system. I think all of these institutions that we consider so critical to human thriving so often have deep roots in a Judeo-Christian perspective. The atheists have laid that challenge. I think we have good answers.
Hey, thank you, Professor Ken Sample.
Thanks for joining us today. To make sure that we cover topics that interest you, we would welcome your suggestions regarding an issue that you'd like us to discuss in a further episode. For that or any other thought you'd like to share, there's a handy icon to connect to us, or use our email address, truthtest@truthinthetesttube.org. That's truthtest@truthinthetesttube.org. And join us again for Truth in the Test Tube.